Welcome one and all to episode 425 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and for this episode, we welcome back Jeremy Weltman, Ed Ferguson. We're talking September 2025 new releases, new music, new things to help you lighten the load of your pocket and hopefully turn you on to some great new music.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
Quick reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see work with me, hover over that, and you'll see podcast services and sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. All right. Bad Matthew McConaughey. All right. I don't know. Anyway, just want to send a shout out to my patrons, Steven Saylor, Steve Hoker, Jeremy Weltman, Mike Jones, Brad Dahl, Gabriel Ruiz, Chris Vaglio, Metal Dan, Johan in Sweden, Ed, who appears on this episode. Jeremy appears on this episode as well. I've already said that. Anthony Mackey, great graphic designer who helped put everything together graphics wise for the everything episode 300 onward. Wow. It's been 125 episodes since we rebranded. Tony Espin and Sean Richmond in the UK. Also want to thank the returning Mark Striegel, who is now a patron once again. Not sure how often he listens to this or listens to the actual Patreon podcast, but his support is appreciated nonetheless, as is yours. If you want to become a patron, you can do so for as little as $2 a month. If you want to just reshare, like turn people on to the shorts that I've been posting, all of that is extremely, I appreciate it extremely. That's what I'm trying to say. So I do want to thank you. And like I said before, we do these episodes to talk about music, talk about things that are exciting us, to turn other people onto stuff that maybe they don't have the time to check out. Maybe they have no interest in sitting through a bunch of new music. And as we discuss certain albums in the different way that we describe them, so on and so forth, maybe it interests you enough to check them out. So if you do, we've done our job. In any event, go to signalsfrommars.com for anything related to this episode, to the show, whether you want to see where you could check out the YouTube version of this, the video version, if you want to check out previous audio episodes as well. It's all there, signalsfrommars.com. Thank you once again for listening. Let's get on with the show. Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and joining me today are Jeremy Weltman in the UK and Ed in Kentucky. How are you guys tonight?
Yeah, good, thanks. Really good.
Doing good.
Excellent.
Always so happy to see you.
Happy to see you guys as well. Before we jump into the episode, I do need to make an announcement. The next Patreon special will be October 24th. And what I'm going to ask people to vote on is the 10 bands that they associate most with Halloween.
Ooh. Fun.
Now, this can be because their imagery maybe you think is associated to Halloween. Maybe they spooked you as a kid. Maybe the lyrics of a song, whatever you feel are the 10 bands that most relate Halloween to you are the bands we're going to discuss. So I want people to vote, send their 10 bands in. As usual, if you can't send 10 in and you've only got five that you can think of, three that you can think of, one that you can think of, whatever you send me is what I'm going to work with. And how these polls work is whatever your number one is gets 10 points. Whatever your number two is gets 9 points, all the way down to 10, which gets one. And this is a different topic than what we usually talk about. And given that Halloween was coming up, I thought it would be something cool. And I'm not going to take responsibility for coming up with this because this was pitched to me by Brad Dahl. Brad Dahl had quite a few different Halloween related different show themes. And this was, I think is the easiest one to pull off. He talked about having us put together like a master Halloween playlist or something like that, or, you know, the 10 spookiest songs for Halloween. So maybe that's something we could do in the future. But I think we'll start out with this and it should be fun to discuss, no doubt. But tonight we're going to talk about September 2025 releases. We hope that you enjoy these episodes. We're trying to help people with finding new music. And, you know, I always feel, and I think that's kind of the consensus here, is that there's always good music coming out. You just have to find it. And we're giving you guys a nudge as to what, you know, we feel works for us. And, you know, hopefully ends up on your year end list when we do that big show in December. So anyway. Without further ado, we kick things off on September 5th with new albums from Fury, Bless the Fall, Condition Critical, Cult Burial, Dreams of Grey, Glenn Hughes, Nailed to Obscurity, Primal Fear, The Rods, FM, Dark Angel, Via Nova, Speed Queen. Jesus, I can't talk. Speed Queen, Fawn, Ambush, Bent C, EPs from Elaine and Revenois, I guess is how you pronounce it. Reissues from Night Demon and Slipknot. A lot of, I guess you can consider heavy hitters for that first week, depending on what you like. Ed, what did you listen to that jumped out at you?
So one band that I found interesting, not one that I like a lot, but I got to bring it up. They were unusual. Cult, Burial.
Okay.
They have an album called Collapse of Pattern, Reverence of Dust. And they're kind of a death slash black slash doom metal band.
Okay.
You know, they have a lot of atmospheric sounds, you know, stuff that kind of gets a little bit old to me. But this, whoever these guys are very interesting when you read their lyrics.
Okay.
This guy is like extremely poetic and verbose. He would be, I've got to read you just one, the start of one of their tracks. He goes, "In this quietude, a faint exhale comes through. Utopian sweet abyss, thy arms I eagerly come to know. Let me drift to neither bliss nor pain. Despondency's feather, borne on dusk, waning gasp." And every single paragraph and every single song is like that.
Oh, wow.
So he would be an interesting dude just to interview if you ever got the chance, even if you don't like their music. I'd kind of like to see what's going on in this guy's mind. It would be amazing to see him do a live show and remember all of this poetry that he's growling in his death metal. It's interesting. So for those who like, you know, death, black, doom metal bands, check that out. I know I'm not here to give recommendations on heavy metal bands, but I have been enjoying the heck out of that Speed Queen.
Okay.
Any one of you choose that record?
No. I got a chance to listen to it, actually.
Man, when I listen to that record, it takes me back to being like in those days right before, kind of in those speed metal days, right mm-hmm. before thrash metal took off. Let me get my notes on this open.
And you're welcome to talk about any of the releases. It doesn't.
That sounds good.
At all. Yeah.
It's like classic heavy metal, like everything I was listening to before I discovered thrash metal, but it also has a lot of early thrash metal sounds. Like it, the production is kind of like Show No Mercy, Fistful of Metal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got, you know, kind of that kind of production. But the vocals are, remind you of vocalists like Ron Keel. It's right. Almost like if Ron Keel had a speed metal band,
mm-hmm.
This is what it would sound like. And this would be another band that I think would be super interesting to interview if you ever got the chance to like ask them how. Because I swear, when you listen to this record, you feel like you just walked in, or it sounds like they somehow walked into a studio from 83 to 85 and mm-hmm. recorded that album. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know how they captured that sound so perfectly.
Right.
And you hear riff after riff that sounds like that good old stuff that you were listening to back then, but it's still fresh and sounds new. So everyone in the Signals from Mars group, I think, should listen to that. But my pick for the week, you know, I told you I was a little bummed for the first part of the year on metal releases for me. But last month, you know, there was a couple of good ones with Insight and Castrator.
Mm-hmm.
This month has gotten even better. This record from Condition Critical is amazing. Did you happen to pick that one, Jeremy?
No.
I know sometimes you'll pick a good.
Yeah, so yeah. No, I'm interested to hear.
So this is a thrash metal band that everyone in the Patreon group would like. To me, it's the thrash metal album of the year so far. It'll probably be my number one. But, you know, if you're fans of all the stuff that we used to like, if you're fans of Anthrax, Metallica, Exodus, this band also reminds me a lot of Indestructible Noise Command.
Okay.
The vocals are similar to Billy Milano, like mm-hmm. Especially his MOD vocals.
Right.
Sometimes you'll hear a little bit of that Nuclear Assault vocal in there too. So it's got all that classic sound that we used to love in those early thrash metal bands. The songwriting's great. It's got that, you know, dynamic songwriting like we like from Megadeth and Metallica and Anthrax with the riffs that, you know, they kind of assault you with the speed and then they'll slow you down and take you on a, you know, headbanging journey through your living room mosh pit. And they're good at, like, those big thrash bands are so good at, they're good at, you know, taking those mosh parts and building tension to build up into other jams, you know, some kind of assault of an electric jam to end the song with.
Right.
The drummer in this band, I'd be interested to hear you listen to and talk about sometime. He's a lot of fun to listen to. He adds a lot of character and quality to the songs, kind of like Dave Lombardo does or Charlie Benante.
Okay.
He's so interesting that without him, the songs would be noticeably not as good.
Okay.
But yeah, this record is, it's like a 5-star thrash metal record. Plenty of mosh pit moments. All 10 songs are great. And I'm going to have to give a couple of songs to Brad to put on Yard Metal. And with the vocals not being too growly, everybody will like it, especially Metal Dan will like this record. So I went on for a while there. I'll stop now. That's incredible. That's fine. And everybody in the group needs to listen to that.
Cool. Jeremy, how about you? What did you listen to?
Yeah, this was a really packed week. I mean, Ed's just mentioned a couple there that I didn't even touch on, and I'm going to be up late tonight listening to them because that's great. I mean, I listened to Primal Fear. I listened to Glenn Hughes, and you know, I'm not even going to touch on those. I know you listened to Primal Fear, Victor, so you can comment on that in a sec. I started on Wild Dogs Unchained by The Rods. As you know, I'm quite a fan of The Rods. They remind me a little bit of Anvil. This album is, you know, it's been released within 12 months of the previous one, really. It's all the same sort of hardcore pub rock metal sort of stuff. It's all basic stuff. It's all blue collar metal. But I like it. I like it because they're a very genuine band. You know, there's always some good riffs on there. So yeah, that was a pretty good start for the month for me. I've moved on to Brotherhood from FM, which I guess you guys won't be into, but as you know, they're sort of British soft rockers. I like them. They're a bit of a comfort blanket. You know, they've released a lot of quality albums since they sort of reformed around sort of 2008, 2009. And they produce quality stuff. You know, they know melody. And I sometimes think, I know Ed comes from a different sort of aspect of this to me sometimes, but I like a lot of melody and I like a proper song, and they do it well. And, you know, it's not for everyone. It might be for the Bon Jovi fans out there, but it's not for, you know, your death metal fans, but there you go. So, then I moved on to my pick of the week, which, I guess one or two of our fellow Patreon members are going to be happy about, because I picked Interceptor by Fury, which is a bit of a favorite of all of us, really. And you've interviewed them before. You know, I like this band. I would say they're not my favorite band, but I think they're very, very good, and I'd like to see them live. That's that sort of new wave of British sort of classic rock. I thought this one, you know, it sort of had probably a lot of energy to it, but I thought it had a lot of, variation on it as well. So I think that, you know, they've matured a little bit, should I say. So I think they're releasing some good stuff. I'm not raving about it, but I think it's worthy of my pick of the week, and it's a very enjoyable album, and I'd like to return to it.
Okay. So I got a chance to listen to some of the stuff that you guys mentioned. I got to listen to the Speed Queen. I got to listen to Bless the Fall with Gallows. It's their first album since 2018. This is going to be a common theme, and I've been talking about this on Patreon the last few weeks. Bands that started out being deathcore or metalcore or even death metal, coming out with real radio friendly albums now all of a sudden.
And yeah, I can't stand it. We need to do an episode just so I can bitch about that.
But it's weird to me because, and I'll get into this more with another album that I listened to, but it's weird to me that this is so blatant radio production and radio hooks, and there are certain things where it's like there's already a million bands doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it makes you feel like when these bands first came out 10, 15, 20 years ago, they were just jumping on a wave on something that was trendy at the time. And they're now doing the same thing to try to stay afloat all these years later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of weird. Primal Fear. This album, I don't want to say it's a complete disappointment, but it's just paint by numbers like power metal. And I felt like they reached their groove like three albums ago where they had gotten heavier, like they had added aspects to their music where they were sounding, you know, more like Black Label Society in certain parts, where there was like a lot of heavy chugging mixed in with anthemic stuff, which is what they're known for. But now it's like back to just paint by numbers power metal. There's like two songs that I really like off of the album, and the rest is like, okay, there's like double bass here for no reason. There's okay, that sounds like as Anthony Mackie would say, that sounds like Eurovision metal. You know, I don't know. It sucks. Again, I get it. They're trying to make money. I'm going to have to go with Glenn Hughes and Chosen. It's supposedly his last rock album, he said. It's not as good as his previous two solo albums, which I think were heavier, funkier at times. This, I don't have the liner notes. It's his first release on Frontiers, I think. And I don't know if they had a hand in writing some of the music, because sometimes they do that sort of thing. And maybe that's why the album is a little more melodic than the last few. But anyway, that's the one that kind of stood out to me the most. September 12th, we had new albums from Lorna Shore, Arjun Anthony Lucassen, Between the Buried and Me, Never Tell, The Rasmus, Hellstar, The Switch, Spite House, Restraining Order, Sweet Savage, who is best known for being Vivian Campbell's first band, Starset, Hyperstrike, Crippling Alcoholism, Sia Saren, Year of the Goat, Demon Hunter, Silverstein, and Crucible. EPs from Colorblind and Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin released a live EP, which I haven't checked out yet.
Never heard of them.
reissues from Asheron, Behemoth, Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti 50th Anniversary Edition, Sweet, a live album from Fargo, and Motley Crue released yet another compilation, From the Beginning, the definitive collection of Motley Crue hits. So for everyone who still shits on Kiss for putting out so many greatest hits albums, I think Motley Crue's got quite a few as well. So Motley Crue may be up to the same level, to be honest, at this point, because I mean, they're good for putting out a greatest hits like every 4 or 5 years. So anyway, Jeremy, what'd you listen to this week?
Yeah, so I started off with The Devil's Masquerade by Hellstar, a Texas band, back with their first music in 9 years, I believe. This one was okay. It was okay as a starter. There was a lot of familiar elements in there with the sort of riffs and the themes. It didn't grab me that much, really. I wasn't that won over by the vocal. It was kind of okay. Songs were left a little bit wanting as well overall. So, I was hoping for something a little bit better, and I moved on for two really good albums. Songs No One Will Hear by Arjen Anthony Lucassen, which you mentioned just before. He's the Aerion founder, Dutch prog musician. I've not really heard much of his stuff before. It's a concept collection of 8 songs. It's all about having sort of 5 months left before an asteroid impact hits the Earth and sort of what you do in the event of that. Not all of the songs were brilliant on it, but the ones that were absolutely superb. I really liked it. There was a slower track on there featuring Floor Jansen of Nightwish. The final song, it's called The Final Song. Really good 14-minute epic at the end. I'm not massive into prog, but when I like prog and, you get something that's really good to listen to, really thought this was an interesting album, really enjoyed it just as something a bit different. But my pick of the week, Ed is going to prick his ears up here because this is something I think he was sort of almost intimating just a minute ago, because this is a debut by a Danish speed metal merchants. It's Hail to the Force by Crucible. It really reminds me of why you got into metal in the first place. It's very amateurish. Well, I say almost amateurish because I don't want to be too cutting. It's a bit naive, but there's a real sort of ferocious intensity on the album. Keeps you really involved in it. You know, that sort of one that sort of draws you in, reminds you why you really liked it in the first place. Real crushing riffs on there. A little bit of subpar sort of production quality on there, but that's okay. These are genuine guys, real rawness, even if the vocals only sort of just about adequate. The sort of guys you'd want to chat at the bar with, they're sort of guys that would engage with their audience. For every sort of over-polished band that's out there, we've got these kind of guys doing this kind of stuff. And this, I think this is why we do this program. This is why we do this live thing as well, because we talk about all the big bands, but we need to talk about the small bands. They won't get known anywhere else. So Hail to the Force, Crucible, pick of the week.
I can't remember if I listened to that or not, but you have me interested. What are the vocals like? Are they more like classic heavy metal vocals?
I would suggest, you got to look through the vocal a little bit because you need to listen to the music. It's the music that's kicking through. Right. And sometimes that's the case with these sort of bands, parts of it are not knitting together quite right, but
it's a character though.
Yeah. It's the character, the energy, the enthusiasm, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Cool. Ed, what did you listen to this week?
I got ticked off listening to Between the Buried and Me doing exactly what you talked about, in the last week, and remove that one immediately from my library. The only thing that I kind of liked was the Hellstar, but that was it. And Jeremy pretty much summed it up. It's okay. It's thrash metal with kind of the more, the vocals kind of remind me of Metal Church, except they're a little bit more operatic or whatever.
Right.
I think I would like Hellstar better if he had a little more of a hardcore voice.
Okay.
That's what is kind of missing for me. But there wasn't anything else that I picked that week.
Okay. Would you say that Hellstar is your pick of the week then?
Yeah, that would have to be the only pick I had, the only thing I liked.
Okay. Cool. So that's actually one that I need to check out. I didn't get a chance to get around to listening to that. So I got to listen to Between the Buried and Me, The Blue Nowhere. Oh my goodness, there's a lot going on there. I mean, there are parts of songs that sound like King Crimson. There are parts of songs that sound like Van Halen. There are parts of songs that sound like, it's got growly vocals. It's got clean vocals. It's all over the place. It seems to me, I mean, yes, there's definitely a project feel to this. It feels to me like they locked themselves in a room and listened to a lot of Faith No More and Mr. Bungle, and then also decided at the same time, similar to what I said before, we need to move some units. So let's add some catchiness to this and see where it goes. I don't know, because I can't consider myself a huge fan of the band, but I do like stuff that they've released in the past. This is just very left fieldish in general. Let's see. I listened to what else? Silverstein, Pink Moon. And Silverstein is a band that I've heard about a lot. I've never checked them out before. And I figured, well, why not? Let me give it a shot. And I know they're very famous. I know they're on the radio, but it's just very friendly radio rock to me. Kind of generic. And my pick is going to have to be Demon Hunter with There Was a Light Here.
And interesting.
Did you listen to that?
Yeah, and to me, it's just another plain old Demon Hunter record. I'm a big fan of their first three. I love their third record.
Okay.
That one I bought on vinyl. But every record after that has just been the same thing over and over again to me. So it's kind of become a thing for the Demon Hunter fans, I think. But
yeah, I think it's interesting because they had been releasing singles on their own and they hadn't mentioned anything about an album. At least I didn't receive any information about it. And some of those singles were actually pretty cool and they ended up on the album. But yes, to me, they've always been either great or mediocre. There are certain songs of theirs that get stuck in my head and I listen to a lot.
Yeah.
And those are great. But then there are others where, similar to what you're saying and similar to what I said before about like the Primal Fear, where it's like, oh, okay, they're playing to the audience as opposed to kind of working this out more. And I was kind of happy that they were releasing those singles because my idea was, wow, for the first time in I don't know how many albums, they're just putting out, you know, the grade A good stuff.
But, yeah.
I guess that wasn't entirely the case. So, all right. So let's move on to September 19th. We had new albums from November's Doom, Higher Power, Big Big Train, Dusted Angel, Paradise Lost, I Prevail, Mike Tramp, Castle Rat, Heritor, Scorpion Milk, Igor, Hunter Oliveri, Dead, Soul Keeper, Wolfheart, New World Depression. Kriegsgrav, Solicitor, Jonathan Wyndham, okay. Mirador, Nine Inch Nails, Stone Jesus, D.D. Verney and the Cadillac Band, Elder, EPs from American Television and Kitty, and reissues from Bad Wolves, Descendants, and A Perfect Circle, and a compilation from Camelot. So as far as you're concerned, Ed, what did you listen to this week for the 19th?
Yeah, this was kind of a week for me too.
Okay.
Although I was very pleasantly surprised with how good the Kitty Spit 2025 record.
It's EP. The 25th anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've always kind of considered them a new metal band, although they're also kind of described as groove metal.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, checking them out more in the last few years, I feel like they've probably gone more in that groove metal vein, which is probably why I'm liking it more as the albums go on.
Right.
And I think they really nailed it with this little 4-song EP they have, especially tracks 2 and 3. There are a couple of favorites of mine.
Right.
I don't know if they're considered a new metal band. I think they do it better than all the guys out there. It sounds that good. It makes me like new metal, if that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Great. I meant to tell Steve Hoker, you need to listen to this EP. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's checked it out.
Yeah, he probably has. He probably knows all the songs already.
Yeah, I was familiar with all them. I mean, they're re-records of their original EP. But yeah, I got a chance to listen to it, and they've heavied a lot of these songs up for the 25th anniversary, which is, I think, what you kind of need to do when you come back and do stuff like that. I think Testament did it best when they re-recorded stuff off of the first few albums, where they went heavier with the tracks. And yeah, it's definitely how they've been playing these songs the last, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I love their vocals. I think this kind of music, this new metal, groove metal, especially when they have a good production, it does. It's a perfect genre of metal to express, how would you put it? To express what's going on, or whatever those females are trying to express through their music. Mm-hmm. It really connects with their emotions in ways that, goes beyond what the guys can do sometimes. You know, new metal really connects with, I think, that deep down anger, especially that people were feeling in the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
And you can hear that with the lyrics, you know, as the 90s went on, and just how it fit the style of the music, you know, just really expressing anger in ways that other genres of metal had not done yet.
Right.
And there's some amazing bands, even though I'm not a big fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
But especially some of these female groups like Kitty, they take it to a whole nother level, to a point where it does move me. I think it does a great job of expressing their emotions through music.
Yeah, I think that they were lumped in there because of the time period when they came out, because I think that they definitely were heavier than a lot of the other bands that were coming out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And also what you mentioned, for a lot of people that I know that are around my age group, that couldn't get into a lot of 90s music, their gripe was, oh, you know, it's too depressing, it's too angry, it's too this. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, if you're happy all the time, I mean, that's kind of, that's not realistic. You know, sometimes you just need to get out and vent your frustrations. And obviously a lot of their music, a lot of the lyrics is about stuff that they faced in their lives. And especially they've
talked a lot of dark stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talked about how, you know, being women in a male-dominated genre, you know, how a lot of this stuff has come out.
Some of it's so dark I can't handle it. Like that Opeth.
Right.
Man, they're a great band, but some of the stories that she tells, they're so dark, you know, because she's explaining her experiences in life. And, man, it's just... It takes you to a depressing place, as if you're empathetic with what she's trying to express, you know, through her lyric. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can make it hard to enjoy the music.
Yeah.
But that's how you deal with that stuff. That's what metal's for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Is there anything else that you listened to that jumped out at you?
No, that was not much going on that week for me.
Okay. So, all right. So I'll write that down as your
pick of the week.
All right, cool. Jeremy, what did you listen to?
Yeah, just a couple for me this week. This Side of the Dirt by Dusted Angel. I don't know if you know much about them, but they describe themselves as doom rock. But I'd say they're quite a bit punky as well. Very sort of long intro into the very first song, so that kind of put me off a little bit. I was thinking, oh, is it all like this? But once it gets going, real sort of groovy music. That's some very, very sort of neat and tidy, what I'd describe as bouncy riffs, and a little bit of angst in there, a little bit of sort of metal coming in. So a very listenable mix of tunes. I didn't know much about them. Apparently they're from California. They've released one other album back in 2020. Really enjoyed it. It was a nice listen. So that was one. I probably picked the next one, which was the Mirador debut album. Again, okay. Didn't know much about this, but then I realized I did, because obviously you'd played put a track up on your Patreon page, and of course it was formed by two guys, and one of them was the Greta Van Fleet, Jake Kiska. And of course it dawned on me when I listened to the music, because it's very Zeppelin, it's very Rival Sons, and I like that sort of music. And I didn't like Greta Van Fleet. I just didn't like the vocal for some reason, but I really like this. It does remind me a little bit too much of Rival Sons on occasions. And sometimes you can get a bit too close to another band, but then it doesn't stop Airborne or Crocus. You know, they sound exactly like AC/DC. So, right. You know, as I say, I wasn't a fan of Greta Van Fleet, but I am a fan of Mirador, and I'm going to listen to that one again and enjoy it. So, that's my album of the week.
All right, cool. So for me, I started listening to the Tron Areas soundtrack, which was done by Nine Inch Nails. I really like the one single that they've released off of the album. It's the best Nine Inch Nails song that I've heard in quite some time. Probably going all the way back to Hesitation Marks, which at this point, probably like 15 years ago. So there's that. I mean, it's instrumental except for three tracks, and two of the three tracks with vocals I think are good. The other one is just kind of all right. I listened to November's Doom with Major Arcana. This is a mix of a bunch of different things. It's doom metal, but it does have a little bit of a growly vocal to it as well. There's guttural vocals, there's melodic vocals. It reminds me a lot of Paradise Lost, who also released an album, which is The Ascension. I can kind of say the same thing about both albums, is when they're on top of their game, the tracks really speak to me, and it's stuff that I really, really enjoy. But then there's other stuff that just does nothing for me. I think both have great things, and even with the November Doom, there's some stuff that goes into the typo negative territory with some of the stuff, and I found it to be rather enjoyable. My pick is going to be the Kitty EP as well, because I'm a fan of these songs from way back when. Again, I think that they've done by redoing them, I think that they've done them the right way. And I've been a fan of the band for so long, and I enjoy the entire EP. So.
Okay, I think you're schooling me here. So those were covers? Those were recordings?
Spit was their EP that they came out with back in the year 2000.
And hence the Spit 2025. Okay.
Right. So
I didn't do my research on that. I just thought it was some new tracks from Kitty. And I really enjoyed them.
Yeah. They're all redone, but I think kind of the idea for doing these tracks the way that they did them was that this has been the lineup for at least from the last album and everything leading up to the last album to now. This is the lineup that I saw live back in 2009. So before they went away for a elongated period of time, this was the lineup. And so I think they wanted to both commemorate that original EP and also have this lineup play it how they're playing, you know, how they've been playing them, these tracks for the last X amount of years. So
well, that's good to know. Helps me know what I'm talking about.
There you go. All right. We have Dr. Sexy. So this is somebody who's joined us, at least as far as I know, for the first time, saying, "Wow, Vic, you must be fun at parties. Hey guys, let's rock this joint with the new Tron soundtrack. Listen, I'm a fan of Nine Inch Nails, so I'm going to check out anything that they put out. Does this compare to any of, you know, my favorite albums or tracks by them? No, not at all. But doesn't mean that I can't add tracks onto, you know, my Nine Inch Nails playlist here. Let's see. Let's move on to the last week of September. We had new albums from Revocation, Rage, Amorphis, Curse of Cain, Risen Atlantis featuring Frank Beck, Corypheus, I guess is how you pronounce it, Last Wretch, Mors Principum Established, I guess, or Estium, I don't know, Overt Enemy, The Sorrow of Being Immaculate, Fauna, Paradox, Hyann, I guess, Sainthood Reps, From Fall to Spring, Abraham, Indecent Behavior, Terra Atlantica, After Earth, The Vintage Caravan, EPs from President, reissues from Acres, and Apple and Shine from Mother Love Bone, and live releases from Thunderbird Divine and Beat. All right. So let's see here. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, this kind of confirms to me this week that the month was good overall. I think it was a really good month. And, you know, I listened to three albums in this week. The first one was Dark Night of the Soul by After Earth, a band that really reminds me a lot of Amon Amarth. So if you know, obviously, you know, Amon Amarth, you've heard the vocals are identical. I mean, it is the same. The music is quite similar. You've got that sort of chugging melody with the growly sort of vocals. I mean, there was a US band of the same name active some years ago, but apparently this is a Swedish outfit. They started around 8 years ago, not many albums. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I like Amon Amarth, so I'm going to like this as well. Then I moved on to Borderland by Amorphis. Mm-hmm. Album number 15, apparently, from this Finnish prog sort of folk metal band. I may be wrong, but I'm not sure that I've actually listened to any of their stuff before, just through one thing or another. It was a good listen, though. There was a bit of a mix of growly vocals. There was a lot of clear vocals on, nicely produced. They do something that a lot of bands fail to do. They actually write good songs. And so that's, you know, that's something. They had some nice haunting sort of soaring melodies there, which I like, you know, because I like that sort of symphonic sound from the Nordic bands. I guess you would say it's a little bit more Ghost than Nightwish. So if you prefer Ghost than Nightwish, you're going to kind of get into this. So, yeah, that was a great listen as well. Really enjoyed it. But my album of the week is definitely Portals by the Vintage Caravan. Not a band I would say that's been on my radar previously. I gave it a try. As we know, they hail from Iceland, which is unusual. Album number 6 for them. Very heavy sort of 1970s influence stuff. Slightly folky, so a little bit of space rock in there. Real richness to the production, which I liked a lot. Days Go By, the song really hit the spot. It sounded like a real sort of old slice of Deep Purple. They had some proggier Uriah Heep kind of stuff coming in there. They had touches of Rush on a song, My Aurora. And the song Current sounds like it could have been a Rival Sons epic. It's so good. So very sort of loose, genre-defying outfit, I would say, because they don't sort of fit into quite one thing. And for that, they're, you know, better off for it. And I would say this is a real tremendous album. I'd be surprised if this isn't in my top 10 for the year. And I really, really enjoyed it. So obviously, album of the week.
Cool. And just so you know, Edgar Winterson mentioned that he picked up Amorphis's debut back in 92.
Okay.
Amorphis, I've posted over the years on Patreon because this was a band that I didn't know of while living in the States. But when I moved over here, I was told by I don't know how many people, you don't know Amorphis? Oh, well, they're sellouts now. But when they used to do death metal and they used to do this, they were great. But now there's too many melodies and this, that, and the other thing. So, yes, I've had plenty of Amorphis discussions over the years. And the Vintage Caravan, since I've started Patreon a few years back, I've posted videos over the years from them. So, cool. Ed, anything jump out at you this week?
Yeah, I had two things that I enjoyed.
Okay.
The first one will be a band that all of you who like thrash metal with good singing vocals is Paradox, a German band. Mysterium is the name of the record. And it's just a good old classic thrash metal band. If you like Metallica and Anthrax, and you know, you'll hear some Testament like bits in there. But the vocalist is more on the like Joey side, you know. He's just a good old classic heavy metal singer. So those who don't like the growly vocals or the even the Mustaine type vocals, you might like this band. There's the song I thought was great, has a great Megadeth like speed groove in the song, Those Who Resist. That's a good track to check out later on. Besides that Cult Burial I mentioned earlier, this is probably the most death metal like thing that I liked. The Revocation, New Gods, okay. New Masters. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been around since 2009.
Yep.
They're kind of a tech death metal band. They remind me a lot of deathcore bands. You know, they've got a death metal sound, but their vocals are kind of a little bit metalcore, deathcore like.
Yeah.
And they've been a band that I've kind of liked, but they've done a perfect job with this new album. And I tell you, the way they produce this record is just absolutely perfect. Especially if you listen to it on a good stereo in your car or at home, it's got a really heavy, thick sound. It makes me feel like if I walked into someone's soundproof studio and both guitarists like had a couple of stacks, and you're just being kind of, you know, wrapped up in this heavy sound of distortion, and it's got good heavy jug to it. The songs are really well written. So it's the way they produce it is just perfect for me as far as how you record metal, to kind of have it just right there in your face and getting into where you're feeling the music. The last record that I thought was produced that well was that Evile record. I'm forgetting the title of it. but I think I like the production of this one even more. But the songwriting is great. There's one song called Data Chaos that you all should listen to.
Right.
I'm going to even recommend that one to Brad to play on his show. But the production of it, it just takes it to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. If you can, you've got a good stereo at home, and put that record on and enjoy a tune or two off of that one. Definitely my pick of the week.
Okay. Yeah. I got a chance
month if it wasn't for the condition critical.
I got a chance to listen to that one as well. And I mean, it's funny. I wanted to find the singer guitarist name, Dave Davidson. I didn't want to mess that up. But as I pulled it up, it says progressive metal, groove metal. And it's funny that they've always had that kind of progressive label attached to them. But I mean, they've
always... Yeah, it's not that progressive, really.
I mean, the...
It's more on a technical death metal side, I think.
Right, right. It's
going to a whole nother range of...
Yeah, it's the playing is very technical. It's very succinct and intricate and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the music is just outrageous on it.
I have a question, too. There's an album that came out on the 30th. Does that we include that? Are we doing another week for those 2 days?
What album is that?
It was just a good old classic death metal band called Rib Spreader.
Okay.
That was released on the 30th. That one kind of reminds me of like Dismember. It's got, you know, that kind of, production to it. Mm-hmm. It's just classic death metal on the songwriting and the vocals. And the guitar is kind of funny. It's like they have one of those old 80s orange Boss pedals and they've turned all the treble up,
right?
And all you're getting is just crunch, crunch, crunch. And you know, it almost sounds like they took their small amp and put it into a Pringles can, and you're just getting that really crunchy right. can sound to it,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It's still getting some thick bottom end from the drums and the bass. Mm-hmm. And I think if you like bands like Dismember and Entombed. This is, I think, a newer band that you might want to check out. Came out on the 30th.
Okay. Yeah, I just have the 26th. I don't have the 30th. I got to check
there
out.
You get a little, some bonus material from Ed there.
There you go. As usual, Ed never disappoints. So, all right. So I got a chance to listen to the Revocation. I got a chance to listen to the President EP, the King of Terrors, excuse me, plural, more than anything, because the band is receiving so much hype that I'm like, you know, I need to check this out. They're being tied into the whole Sleep Token thing as well. And I gotta tell you, I like the first track off of this, but then it's similar to the Sleep Token. It just doesn't sound like metal to me. You know, there's one thing where, you know, a band like Limp Bizkit can use auto-tune as a goofy thing in a song, and they can get away with it because of the type of band that they are. But when you have bands like President or Sleep Token using auto-tune and using different overtly pop elements, I don't know, and labeling it metal, if it wasn't labeled metal, I probably wouldn't have an issue with it. But it's not something that I reach to if I want to listen to metal. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. Maybe I'm just old. Who knows?
Or maybe both.
Or maybe both.
That's the way I feel about myself.
So there you go. And let's see. So the last thing that I checked out, and it's going to be my album of the week. And I was kind of surprised with this because this is Rage with New World Rising. Rage has been kind of paint by numbers with their last few albums. It's not that they're bad. but it's just more of, okay, I've heard this already. Give me something. Give me an explosive solo. Give me, you know, some type of a melody line to a song, or some structure to a song that kind of grabs me, some big riff that grabs me. And I have to say that there's quite a bit off of this album that I like. I mean, again, they're not reinventing the wheel, and sometimes you just want something that sounds familiar to kind of grab you, and it's not radio friendly. It's for the most part, it's a mix of heavy metal and some thrash. Towards the end of the album, you know, they kind of loses a little steam, but it's going to be my album of the week. So let me go over the albums that we picked for the month of September. So we have on the 5th, Jeremy with Fury and Interceptor. And we had Ed with Condition Critical and Degenerated Chamber. I went with Glenn Hughes and Chosen. For the week of the 12th, Ed went with Hellstar and The Devil's Masquerade. I went with Demon Hunter and There Was a Light Here. And Jeremy went with Crucible and Hail to the Force. The 19th, let's see, Jeremy went with Mirador and Mirador. And then both Ed and I went with the Kitty Spit 25 EP. And then for the week of the 26th, Ed went with Revocation and New Gods, New Masters. I went with Rage, A New World's Rising. And Jeremy went with The Vintage Caravan and Portals. Real quickly here, before coming on the show, Ed brought up an interesting topic, and it is how we listen to these albums. You know, what we kind of do to kind of get in the mood and absorb all of this music. Ed, what do you tend to do?
So I keep the new release tab for metalstorm.net open on my computer.
Okay.
And so what I've been doing, especially lately since we've been doing the shows, every morning when I get to my desk at work, I refresh that page, and it'll tell you, you know, what genres every band is. So I can easily pick, you know, the thrash metal, groove metal, death metal bands, whatever. And then I throw those into my Apple library. And then I create a playlist that's categorized with everything released in September, with a rule that has a plays of zero, so that if I listen to a track, it'll take it out of there, because iTunes, especially if you favorite something, it's going to play it over and over again. And I want to make sure, right, I'm getting through everything. And I mainly listen to all of that stuff in the morning as I'm going to work and my head's clear and I'm ready for music, you know, kind of helping me sort all my thoughts. Right. I randomly play tracks from that playlist, and stuff I don't care for, I delete. And then the other stuff that I am liking, you know, of course I keep listening to. And then, you know, towards the end of the month, I start trying to listen to the stuff that I really enjoyed in full. Mm-hmm. So that I kind of refresh my memory on what I've listened to. So, and the only disadvantage of doing that is that I, like I said before, not having much time to listen to the stuff that I like from the last month, or even you know, throughout the year. So I'm kind of doing that Monday through Thursday when I'm driving down to my clients, and then on the weekends I'm listening to everything else, whatever pops up in the playlist.
Right. Well, that's cool. Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, sort of. Well, I have a look at Heavy Music HQ. Because they have a lot of albums listed for the whole week. This is often before you put up your own list, Victor. So okay. I go through there. I have a look basically at the ones that are on Frontiers, all the sort of more melodic bands that I notice that are on there. I pick out some at random. I kind of know that the ones that are going to be fairly death metal-y or whatever. You can tell by the album titles. And I kind of, you know, try to pick out three or four off there, have a little listen, usually listen in bed, late at night, or just pick out maybe two or three songs off each album, and then you kind of know if you're going to like the rest of it. And mm-hmm. if you like the rest of it, then you go on and listen to the whole album. And then I'll go back to your list because I'll want to put the X's on the spot. And then I notice that you've got other stuff on there that isn't on their list. And so then I'll pick out one or two of those. And then I condense it down and pick three, usually three, the ones that I kind of like a lot. Or if I don't like any of them, then I obviously have to pick out one or two that are, you know, I mentioned that are not so good. But yeah, that's how I tend to do it, really. Sort of, you know, pick a long list, condense it down. And then you can't listen to everything, unfortunately. It'd be great if we could, but time's precious.
Absolutely. Yeah, for me, it's usually in the car when I'm taking my kids to school and whenever I'm working out. So if I'm going for a walk or a bike ride, I'm listening, or if I'm working out with weights at home, then I'm listening to something. I have to, it's usually the last 2 weeks of the month where I get backed up on what podcasts I listen to because I set everything aside to just listen to these albums and try to listen as much as possible. Some months I can listen to more than others, but, like I said before, there's always good music coming out. Hopefully we're helping you find some of that stuff. And, I've always said it, whenever I've heard that you've lightened your pocket because you've purchased something that we recommended here, it's a great measure of satisfaction, because it's kind of the reason why we do this. We're turning people on to music that they didn't know had come out otherwise, or maybe they didn't know the band, or maybe they didn't realize that a band had put something out. So
next month, I'm going to have a brand new band to introduce to everyone. A lot of my extreme metal fans are going to be very happy about.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's, I pre-ordered it. The vinyl's coming out. Yeah. In October. So I should have it soon to listen to and give you a review next month.
Okay.
And then Edgar Winterson there pointed out Taylor Swift came out with her record. He said that was his record of the month, but I think that came out in October, right? October 1st or 2nd.
I do not know.
I'll have to give you my review on that on the next show.
I think you're right. Definitely beginning of October.
Oh, man. I guess Edgar isn't a fan of the Charlie XCX diss track. So, let's see. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that's coming out in October that looks very appealing.
Does the Testament come out in October?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to check out.
All right. So I'll be doing that one too, because I'm going to listen to that one in full.
Yeah, I think we'll all listen to that one.
I tell you, I'm having a hard time though with like TikTok, not hearing stuff, because I'll be flipping along, then all of a sudden I'm hearing that new Megadeth song and I'm like, oh no, I don't want to hear that. And so the first three, I heard like 3 seconds and it sounded great, but yeah, I'm trying hard not to hear anything. And it's the same thing with the Testament, but
October.
I so bad want to capture that feel of when you would go to the record store and you didn't hear it. You know, I know sometimes they'd put a single out on the radio if it was like one of the bigger mainstream bands, but most of the time we had to wait until it was released and then take it home and see what we thought of it.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Testament always released a single before the albums came out. I mean, Souls of Black had the title track that came out probably like 2 or 3 months before the album came out. I remember
Headbangers. What did they play it on back then?
Headbangers Ball played that. Oh,
yeah, so I didn't have cable TV anywhere I was living at that time, so I guess I was missing out.
Yeah, so that... Electric Cross got played a ton as well before. And also, I do have to say that I was lucky that in the area where I grew up, there was a big metal station, which was it's still around. It's a college station for Seton Hall University. It's WSOU. You can listen to it online, actually. And it's got a whole gamut of different types of metal. So, yeah.
Next month, then it should be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it should. And I was going to ask if you had listened to the Megadeth, and obviously we just found out that you have.
That's right. I will say, though, even from those 3 seconds, you could tell that new guitarist, Timo, is picking the strings. That guy's amazing. I can't wait to hear what he has to offer on this record.
Dave has said he's the best guitarist he's ever had in Megadeth. We've never
heard that before. He just might be. When I saw that, paid to watch that live concert that he played in, I was just blown away by how perfectly he played every guitarist solos.
Right.
You could tell that he's a major fan of Megadeth, and he just respected the hell out of every guitar player that he was covering. I'm really impressed with him.
See, now that's interesting, because listening to Zakk Wylde talk about how he got the gig in Ozzy.
Yeah.
And mentioning how he went in and knew the music because he loved Ozzy and Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of guys were there that really weren't fans and were just looking for the paycheck.
Yeah.
And it's funny because within the last week or two, Al Petrelli has come out and said, oh, you know, I auditioned for Ozzy to replace Jakey Lee. And Al Petrelli's been seasoned studio musician who has played with Megadeth, has played with Savatage, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and so on and so forth. But that's someone who's had a million gigs, and it seems like, and this is no knock on him, but it just seems like he's been a sessions guy for a long time. So it was kind of cool hearing Zakk say, no, I really wanted this gig. I love that music. I respect people that came before me. So it's interesting to hear you say that about the new Megadeth guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Speaking of Ozzy, I really enjoyed watching on Hulu the first episode of Into the Void.
Okay.
It was a several part series, probably on musicians that have died. And the first one is one on Randy Rhoads.
Okay.
And they interview Sharon. And yeah, man, that's super emotional. I thought it was done really well. If you have Hulu, go and check that out.
Yeah, I have to see if that's offered over here. Because for example, the Becoming Led Zeppelin, I think, is Netflix property in the States.
Okay.
And it's something completely different here. The licensing is to another streaming platform.
Okay.
So, next month is going to be a busy month as well. What'll be interesting to see if any big band surprises us with any sort of releases, because in November, you know, you have Metallica and AC/DC releasing stuff historically, like without any promotion or nothing. I'm not saying that that's going to happen now because both bands have been touring, but I wonder if there's any like larger band that's going to release something right before the holidays. So we'll see, because there's plenty coming out in October. November has some interesting stuff as well, but once you get to like midway through, it really peters off. So, but we'll see. We'll be hanging in there. And the good thing about having you around, Ed, is that usually only death metal bands release stuff in December.
Yeah.
So
we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, death metal and Lord of the Lost will be releasing a December album once again. They will be releasing Opus Noir Volume 2. They released Volume 1 earlier this year. So Volume 2 will be coming out on December 12th.
All right.
So, excellent. Guys, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I want to thank Edgar Winterson for joining us in the chat. I have a sneaky suspicion that Dr. Sex A is also Edgar Winterson because he says, "I'm Winterson." He's taking the makeup off and letting us all know. So, thank you, Edgar. Hopefully you vote on the upcoming patron show that will be live at the end of this month. Again, just remember, send us the 10 bands you associate most with Halloween. And send that to signalsfrommars@signalsfrommars.com. Or if you converse with me on any social media platform, send it there. So. Yeah, Twitch is supposedly the streaming platform that took off during the pandemic and has come crashing back down the fastest. So who knows? Who knows what was going on tonight? So Halloween number one could very well be. We don't know. Whitesnake number two. Oh, he's giving us his 10 right here, live on the air. In any event, thank you everyone for joining us live or checking out the replay or checking out the shorts that seem to be doing well. Remember that you can go to signalsfrommars.com to pick up merch, to follow us, to listen to previous episodes and all that great stuff. Thanks once again, and we will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.